I have this new theological insight for you. People are like smartphones. We come pristine from the factory. We get loaded up with extra programs and apps that we think at first will be really nifty and make us run better and faster. You know what apps are, right? Every now and then, someone doesn't yet know what an app is. It's an additional little program you can download to make your phone do extra things that weren't built in. So I have an app that looks up what movies are showing around here. And one app turns my phone into a flashlight. And one app takes my pulse. But eventually, too many apps slow down the system, and then weird things start to happen. So the battery loses power too fast, or the screen goes dim, or it freezes altogether. And if it gets too bad, you have to restore factory settings. Go back to where you started. So some of you know my friend Denise Blake, who runs Unity Online Radio. She was here about a year ago. And we were talking on our iPhones one night about how we collect baggage in our lifetimes. And when she said, wouldn't it be nice if we could just restore factory settings? And I thought of it again recently because we've just been through Easter and not long ago Christmas. And both of those big Christian holidays are about remembering our own divinity, remembering we came from the factory, made in the image and likeness of God, just like Jesus, and that's who we truly are. And then just yesterday, the daily email from Abraham Hicks was about our factory settings. They didn't call it that, but they said, who you are and what you know when you were born is everything you need to know to thrive. You're born with a sense of self and a sense of wanting self to feel good and the mechanisms to bring it about. Abraham, of course, says if we can just stay in a consciousness of feeling good, the universe will match that energetic vibration and will attract more good. It's the same idea we use without the language of God and Jesus and the divine. We talk all the time here about how to get back to our true selves, how to elevate ourselves into divine consciousness so we will live from the same plane of love and oneness that Jesus did. If we can do anything he could do, and he said we could, then how exactly do we do that? If we were restored to our divine settings, what would that be? So it's probably a good idea to look at children who are fresh from the factory. They live in the moment. They look for the next fun thing, for joy, for good. If they're upset, they cry and get it over with, and then it's on to the next fun thing. Think of a child before anyone has suggested that he really can't sing, or she's really uncoordinated and certainly can't draw. You know, before any of those buttons are installed to be pushed, before any baggage is accumulated. A child still has a distinct personality, and I'm not saying any of them are perfect, but for a while, they are not weighed down by guilt or fear, and nothing has chipped away their sense of worthiness. They're also highly intuitive. They absorb how others are feeling before they even have words for it. And some studies show that toddlers are altruistic. They are naturally helpful and cooperative. If you have a 2-year-old, you might not believe this, but but for instance, if you drop something in front of a little child, they may pick it up and give it back to you, just naturally. Those are the factory settings: a sense of worthiness, deep intuition, willingness to help others, and always on the lookout for joy. It's easy to laugh and run and play and just look around in wonder. As adults, is it even possible to restore those factory settings? I believe so. I mean, we believe in transformation, right? That's what we're seeking. To live in love and oneness and joy, even as we navigate life on earth as human beings. My all-time favorite Bible story is about this very thing. The disciple Peter tried to operate as an adult based on his factory settings as a divine being. Simon Peter is the disciple who represents faith. Peter means the rock, Simon the rock. Jesus gave him that nickname. He had faith like a rock. I love Peter because his faith was actually so intermittent. He would really get what Jesus was teaching and he would act on it and then he'd lose it and he'd flake out. He was Jesus' right-hand man, but he also denied even knowing Jesus. Jesus just kept working with him. So this famous story is in the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus is in the heart of his ministry. He's busy every day. The disciples are with him. They're traveling everywhere. And this story is placed in Matthew right after the feeding of the 5,000 people with loaves and fishes. You remember Jesus somehow multiplied a little bit of food, so there was enough to go around with food left over. So that had just happened. And as he did so often, Jesus went off by himself after he'd been with people all day. The disciples went out in a boat to fish because they still had to make a living. After Jesus had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, Jesus came walking towards them on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Not the point. Jesus being the Son of God was not the point. Peter walked on water. Peter was also a Son of God. So are you. We all are. Jesus said anything he could do, we could do, and Peter proved it, if only for a minute. Faith like a rock, for a minute. Now, of all the things Jesus did, walking on water is not what I would want to emulate. I might heal people or feed 5,000. Our volunteer appreciation dinner could be a lot bigger if I could feed 5,000. But Peter got out of the boat. He lived into his divinity. He proved the same spirit that was in Jesus is, in fact, in each of us. For a minute, he believed what Jesus was teaching strongly enough to put it into practice. Peter got who he was and what he could do. And then he lost it. And Jesus must have slapped his forehead and said, "Why did you doubt? You almost had it." How would Christianity be different if for the past 2,000 years the primary symbol was not the cross of death, but Peter getting out of the boat and walking on water? What if the symbol of Christianity were about the power in us? Did Peter fail? He had to call tech support. Jesus was running a cleaner operating system. Because he was prayed up. He'd been out praying all night. Peter was brought down by all the apps and the extraneous programs he'd accumulated over the years. The belief that people can't walk on water. The belief that he wasn't as good as Jesus. Self-doubt, self-criticism, physical fears in the storm. His beliefs literally sank him. beliefs about himself, about what was possible, and how things work. Knowing what we think we know is often what keeps us from expressing our divine selves. So think about this in terms of consciousness. Jesus was calm in the storm. He had an awareness that all is well no matter what is happening. Peter got centered enough to join him in that consciousness for a minute. But Jesus didn't make the storm go away. This is what I wrote about in the newsletter this past week when I talked about the hero's journey. The storms in life may be there for our benefit. Overcoming them or working within them may give us exactly the soul's growth we want. Maybe they are necessary to our transformation. Jesus didn't make the storm go away, and even so, Peter was able to walk on water, to act from his divinity even within the storm. So, I was all set to come tell you today to restore your factory settings by being your divine soul, the soul you were meant to be, created in the image of God. I was going to encourage you to carry out the purpose you came to earth for, going to say, wouldn't it be nice to have the fresh heaven of a newborn still upon us? Let's try to get back to that. And then my smartphone died this week. Because I always get to live what I'm going to speak about on Sundays. So I went to the Apple store, they confirmed the phone was indeed dead, and they gave me a new one with factory settings. And here's what I discovered. Some of those apps and programs I had accumulated on the old phone, I wanted to keep. They were serving me. They were the accumulated wisdom of years. I don't care what the temperature is in Cupertino, California. That's where Apple headquarters are. So that's the factory setting on the phone. I want to know how hot it is in Wimberley. I also lost everything I had customized, all the ringtones and the text tones that I had assigned to special friends. On the iPhone, there are endless decisions about what you want to ring or click or be silent or vibrate and when. I had everything carefully set up the way I liked it when I had to restore factory settings. So yes, it would be wonderful to carry the fresh divinity of a newborn throughout our lives. But I also want to keep the wisdom I've collected. Yes, we pick up baggage along the way, but we also develop some mature systems customized for the world we live in. We've practiced and adjusted and tested, and it's the hero's journey again. The hero goes out to be tested. She finds treasure or brings home wisdom she couldn't get any other way. The hero has updated the operating system. Knows more, works better, has more power. So here's where I ended up. A smartphone really is a pretty good metaphor for a spiritual being having a human experience. Its basic functioning will always be based on the way it was created. Its inner power won't change. But once it's in use, the way it operates day to day can be adjusted and customized to suit the time and place and circumstance. Our inner functioning is the image and likeness of God. It's who we are. It's what enabled Peter to get out of the boat and walk on water until his systems crashed. The divine power within doesn't change. But we also have creative human power to live in this world, to learn and grow and adapt to what's needed. Anything we could want or need is available, and we can manifest it. There's an app for that. So just as the phone sends feedback to the factory, you know that your phone knows what you're doing. And especially if something goes wrong in the phone, it's feeding all that information back to the factory. The same way every thought and action in our lives is feeding into the one mind that we all share. That's one reason our thoughts are important. They not only have creative power, they contribute to the whole, the collective consciousness. The point is, you are the Christ. You have the divine spirit in you. You are God in expression, no matter who you are or what you've done. You will always have those factory settings. The image and likeness, the 12 powers, are divine attributes hardwired into you. You can't override them. You also have the power to add and delete apps, so your individual system serves you and the world to the greatest extent. You were born with whatever you will need into a universe of endless choices and contrast so you can customize your experience. This is co-creation with God. Your unchangeable divine spirit within, plus your free will to design your human life. The key is faith, belief, knowing who you are. Peter was eventually given the keys to the kingdom because of his faith, and faith is the key for us too. When you know who you are and how you're made, when you believe your original settings are divine, when you do not doubt the power within, you can get out of the boat and walk on water. And if it only lasts for a minute, it still counts. So let's take these thoughts into meditation. To meditate, we simply become comfortable and quiet, centered within. You may want to close your eyes and breathe deeply. Some people focus on their hearts. Some open at the top of your head, open to the divine, so that that energy can flow down through you and express in the world. We can never lose or override our divine settings. You are equipped with these powers: love, wisdom, strength, faith. They are yours to use in your particular circumstance, in your life. And you can keep the knowledge you accumulate, the wisdom you have won. So that through a lifetime, your divine settings and your human experience combine to grow your soul and contribute to the collective consciousness that every being draws from. So for a moment, see whether you can feel that blend of your original divinity and your accumulated wisdom, the people you've loved, the places you've been, the events that have been most important and instructive. They all blend into who you are. Just appreciate that for a minute. You are a co-creator with God. You were born whole, perfect, and complete, created in the image and likeness of the divine. And everything you have experienced since then is part of who you are, is not an accident, was given to you in love. And so we are grateful for all that we are, even the parts we label unworthy. Grateful for all the experiences, even the ones that hurt. We know that it was all part of a magnificent co-creation. And we are eager for more. And so it is. Amen.